Okay. Okay, everybody. Shekhaya, thank you so much for coming, everybody. Oh. As we learn from this week's parsha, Lech lecha ma'atzecha ma'atcha b'yis avicha, el aretz asher ereka, v'eschel lecha goy gadol. I'm going to make you into a great nation. We are defined, in essence, this parsha told us who Avraham Avinu was, introduced us to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the semel, was the symbol of nationhood. Eschel goy gadol, make you into a great nation. Kings will descend from you. It means something is defined. We are defined by particular bounds, which means there are, in a sense, bounds of what makes us into a nation, what defines us. And one can even argue there's rules and there's lines as to exactly who's in and who's out. As you see from many different psukim that I quoted initially, you see the lashon, the Torah uses the lashon of amisecha, ba'amecha, achicha, your brother, amecha, your nation, which seems to be obviously a very big thrust towards that there's someone who's called your brother and someone's not called your brother. And for example, the Isser of lashon hara, lashisa is achicha b'vavecha. Right now, I hate your father. Lashisa l'chrapto b'amecha. Right now, to speak negatively about the people that are in your nation. So clearly, there are things that define us, and it's not just a few for all. Exactly how it's defined, and what it's defined, and then it starts to get a little bit. We'll talk about exactly how it gets muggy, you know, as it gets to the modern day entities. Because how exactly you define a Jew that is living kind of in this middle state, as we'll talk about when we get to eventually. As the Torah tells us in the last source, loisashik leachicha neshach kesef neshach oichon neshach kol darba shigasha. So we have the prohibition, the iser of taking ribbis, of taking interest from a Jew. Loisashik leachicha, your brother. So it clearly implies, as we said a second ago, that there's someone called your brother, and there's clearly someone's called not your brother. So this evolves into a very interesting discussion, if anybody was familiar with this, like, there even was called the Shas and Shuvas Rashi. Most people don't even know that. It's quoted also in Sefer HaTshuvos itself. The Sefer HaTshuvos quotes also this, a little bit clearer on the side, this Rashi. Basically, in essence, the Rashi says a beautiful idea. And this is actually probably, based off my understanding, the first time that the halacha of Alpha Falkisha Chati Yisrael was applied to a Jew that left the religion almost entirely. Generally, we find, again, a Jew did an Avera. Rashi actually, on the Sugi itself, Alpha Falkisha Chati Yisrael, Rashi says, should Kedushasan Aleyan, that the Judaism, despite the fact that he did an Avera, it doesn't remove their Yados, it doesn't remove their Kedushas Yisrael upon them. But that's like, how far do you take that? Okay, a person in the Chas Hashanah did Bayran Shabbos, right? A person, unfortunately, is, you know, ate treif. A person had a period of time. So they don't lose their toyar, they don't lose their identity per se, but someone who left the religion entirely, that's a really big jump. And yet Rashi tells you, no, that even though you have a prohibition to take, that part that's limited, and seemingly the pasuk says achicha, of interest to your brother, and you think that someone who left the religion is not your brother anymore, says no, apa pishachata Yisrael, says Rashi, such a prohibition of taking interest is applied even as well to someone who left the religion entirely. Again, it's a very big aside. He discusses exactly if you use a shaliach, it's a goy, and a ramai, is that considered to be that you left? It gets into interesting discussions, because I look at it at a different time. This is Mik Yosef, quoting the Ramban, also basically this sugya as well, of achicha, of your brother, about taking ribbis. Nishal ben Otam, al ben Mumeres avodes kochavim, a child of someone, unfortunately, a Mumeres, who married out. And by the way, we generally say, in the Kiryu world, we say that the mother's Jewish, with halacha, the child is Jewish. So it's just a shtel for it. Exactly understand that we're talking about a mother who's Jewish, who left the religion entirely. How do we view and judge that child, per se, when it comes to this allowability to take interest from them or not? So says the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam was asked, Ben Mumeres avodes kochavim, in mutal halvois lebi ribbis. So he was matir. He says, you're allowed to take ribbis. He's disagreeing with his grandfather, Rashi, right? The kaim lan du mamar lavois kochavim, oh, you maridin v'lo mailin. We'll talk about this in a second. Allah is maridin v'lo mailin. And Baruch Hashem, you know, we have a mikvah today, so you're Hashem, you know, we don't put too much on the recording. But there is a general.
We don't do that.
No, okay, maybe the women. Okay. We have a general. Ben Mumeres, or Mumeres. Okay, the idea is that you have such a situation where, unfortunately, someone is causing a lot of problems to the Jewish people, right? Okay, we'll talk about that in a second, because actually, he makes a decision between Moser. But we have a general prohibition, a general halacha, that if a person has left religion entirely, if they, let's say, for example, fell into the sea, you're not mechuyev to go get them. You're not mechuyev to save them inherently, right? That's halacha maridin, again, it's more of an active, which we're not going to talk about publicly, but maridin v'lo mailin, that we don't have to save them. You're not mechuyev to save them. Maridin v'lo mailin. So says Rabbeinu Tam, very partial. If you can let them die, then their money you can't take, of course. If they're guf, which we'll hear, we view the guf as more machmir than the kesef, than the money. So therefore, if we're allowed theoretically to allow them to suffer their own devices, so theoretically also we'd be allowed to treat them as that way itself. He asked an interesting question. What about you have a moister, someone who is causing problems and is informing upon the Jewish community? So although there is such a halacha, a similar overlap between maridin, but nonetheless, we don't take their money. The Gemara says that very explicitly. We don't. Their money is not considered hefker. We can't just steal it. You can't take interest off of it. So he says, why is that distinction does not apply to someone who left religion entirely? Why? Because the person who is unfortunately living in the community and is causing problems for the community, but ultimately he lives in the community. So therefore, as much as you're allowed to cause him pain, i.e. the maridin v'lemailin, but maybe his kids need support also. Maybe he'll have Zaira Malia. That's what Gemara says. Maybe his children will do well. Which, by the way, is the biggest thing in general. If someone's a Meiser, right? I'm not getting involved. I'm not getting any practical halachas. But how you treat the secondary relationships around that person, the children, the wife, things of that nature. How exactly do you go about treating them? But nonetheless, the point is that for such a person, we do not make such a distinction. And therefore, we would not take their money. But again, going back to the Iker point, that someone who did leave the religion entirely, says the Mik Yosef, and now quoting from the Ramban, that someone who's so nitma ben hago ben hago, someone who's so subsumed and assimilated, at that point they've lost their entire identity. And therefore, says the Ramban, such a person, we view them and we consider them to be a non-Jew entirely. Afa pishachat Yisrael, it does not apply in this situation. What exactly is the pshat? I think what the pshat is that afa pishachat Yisrael is that as long as they're acting like a Jew, as long as he self-identifies as a Jew, then you can have normal mistakes. Everybody is human. Everybody mistakes. We're all on a journey trying to get better at what we're doing. But someone who's left the entire religion entirely, has totally rejected the concept of Kedushas Yisrael, even that Kedusha is not chal. There is even a shita that holds, by the way. If a person leaves the religion entirely, he's not even mechuyev to give a get. The woman is totally kosher to marry somebody else. He almost like just off the radar. He totally just dissolves in front of our own eyes because he's left the religion completely. Oh. So what about though a Ben Mumeres? Says I'm skipping to the bottom part of here, the bottom bullet about Ben Mumeres. Kivin shenis gadol al dasehim. Since they were raised in that religion, shalayv dekachavim. Shoygeku ve'imaridim. Even such a person, you would not treat that individual as maridim. V'lav milsehu. He says that's actually not true. I disagree. So you want to argue that maybe they'll have the din? No. The chiyam maridim hachi. Because when do we say the din maridim? I apologize, I'm reading incorrectly. He says we wouldn't apply the maridim. Because why would we apply maridim? Because when do we say maridim? It's only in a case where it was the person made the active decision. But a situation where a person did not make that active decision, you can't say, oh, that person decided ultimately that I want to throw off religion. That person was raised that way. They didn't choose to be that way. Oh. So such a person, shalayv hikir Torah Yisrael Ma'il, never had any concept or anything about Judaism. Such a person, that person is not disconnected to such a degree. So this, just exactly how we pass on halachas, interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch, you know, we have just this general meme in the community. They think Sfaradim are much more accepting, much more warm, much more, and that's not always, it's generally true. And Ashkenazim are more cold and more judgmental, right? I mean, am I incorrect in such a racist, stereotype? And yet, L'maisa, the Ramban says that a mummer is, that a Yisrael mummer is a good gomer. And you have the Rashi that's saying, Chas v'shalom av v'shalat Yisrael. So let's open our minds up in terms of the stereotypes, a little bit, whatever. So the point is, oh, that's a Syrian. Let's not get into that. Don't slap me into the Syrians. Okay. Says the Shulchan Aruch. And how do we see this halacha? The Shulchan Aruch paskins. A mummer, you're allowed to take interest from them. Why? Because they're not called your brother. They've lost their identity as your brother. Says the Ramah. But yesh machmirin. But nonetheless, we should be machmir. A Jew's a Jew. Chas v'shalom to throw them away. You never know. Let's do a college party to get them back. Okay, here we go. Next. So we have an interesting discussion. We have a general historical principle here, which is that used to be that like people were much firmer in what they did. Let me explain what I mean. Someone like literally, like they left the religion. They left the religion. They left it. They went to a different religion. But nowadays we have this thing called just like I just don't do anything. Right. It's a general apathy. They don't stop being Jewish and then become a Catholic. They just become like, well, I'm not a Catholic. I just don't do anything. How do you define, and more than that, some people even take the old things they did from the Judaism and they bring it in. How do you define such a person who's living in this weird in-between state? And that's kind of what the Binyan Siyan was really, in essence, was for the first time encountering Reform Judaism. Reform Judaism up until that point was either you're Orthodox or you're Catholic. But this idea of like kind of toying around with the tradition, becoming like, well, I do half, I don't do this, that was for the first time. And says the Binyan Siyan, he actually says, I have like a legit hard time to understand how we judge with these people. Because on the one hand, they come home from Shul on Friday night after davening a couple of Shabbos, right? Mamash flying high, they kiddish, they're mocking the Bar Olam, and then they go to the mall, they go to the movies. This is much what it is, right?
TV dinner.
There you go. You have such a situation where this is my lived experience. My father's rabbi of a community of people who are proud Jews, Sephardic Moroccans, they fought for Yiddishkeit. I was walking my father one time from home to the show on Shabbos in the morning, and my father, we came early enough. My father went to the parking lot and locked the parking lot. Right? He put the thing to lock the parking lot. At that moment, like the president of the show drives by, like in a BMW, he says, "Oh, Rabbi Kasola, Shabbat Shalom." Gets out of his car, moves it, and drives right in. And he didn't even think for 2 seconds. He didn't even think for 2 seconds because it was so posh to him. It was nasis like a heter. So how do you define such a person? I mean, this is where the general principle that we mentioned previously, the halacha called tinak shenishba. Tinak shenishba was a child that was taken captive. Now, the way the actual source, if you look at the Gemara Shabbos, is literally physically talking about a child that was physically 100% taken captive and was raised among like the Hutu tribe somewhere in India, right? That was taken literally in Siberia, totally no connection to the Yiddishkeit. But nowadays, we live in a world, like I said before, where the Binyan Siyan is saying, I don't know, is that Tinak Shenishbo or not? The Binyan Siyan, actually, interesting enough, says that these people are called Tinak Shenishbo. Because Tinak Shenishbo doesn't mean physically you were removed, but it means also that's removed. That you also this is the first time it was really quoted at a more modern day level to the degree that we're talking about. Now, what do I mean by that? Because the Rambam is famously known as the one who takes Tinak Shenishbo and applies it to the Tzedekim. The Tzedekim were the Karaites, the ones who believed in only Tarshah Shabbat, Shabbat Shabbat, and not Tarshah Shabbat Peh. The written law and not the oral law. So the Rambam says, how do we deal with these Sadducees? How do we deal with these people that only believe in one aspect? So in essence, they're keeping Shemitah, and they're keeping Tzitzis, to whatever degree they think they're keeping Tzitzis, and they believe there's a God who gave the Torah at Mount Sinai, but like, at the same time, they have no shaykhus to anything that we're doing. How do you judge them? So says the Rambam, such people are considered Jews, but they're Tzedek Shenishbo, they've been taken captive. So theoretically, there is an element, an obligation to try to bring them back to whatever degree that we can. That was the famous Rambam. But the Binyan Siyan is implying here that like they literally, not just that they are totally disconnected, they're completely, have redefined the very conception of what Judaism is. They think there's no issue, they think that Jewish humor is being as Jewish as being Machmen and Butter, right? They think that that klezmer music is the definition, or they think Seinfeld is basically like a Maggid Shir. The idea is that like you have a total disconnect from what is Yiddishkeit and what is actually what they think is Yiddishkeit. I even asked actually Rav Shechter once, maybe it's a controversial topic, but the halachas of Kabbalah HaMitzvahs Bagirs, if a Jew, or non-Jew I should say, wants to convert purely because he just likes klezmer music. He just gets a jam from listening to Isaac Perlman. He's a gefilte fish, that's what he lives for. Shalom Aleichem, you know, poetry, whatever, this like Jewish Bundes type stuff. He doesn't know a single thing about Yiddishkeit, but he knows one thing. I like Jewish humor. Is that called that he's officially becomes Jewish or not? So I think I should pause the recording and say what his answer was. I'll tell you afterwards. But I don't know how to pause it. Please, I'll tell you afterwards. It was not what you might think. Okay, anyway. So let's get back on track. So you have, in essence, you have this kind of weird place where people reside, where they live. Do we define them as Jews or not? And where it gets even harder is now the more modern state of Israel. How do you judge someone who lives in Israel, who has zero conception? Like it was the first thing I ever heard, that the story where one of the kids who was taken hostage, when he was in captivity, his father had spoken to him a kobo. I think he spoke to the Yanuka, a very famous rabbi in Israel. And the Yanuka told his father, he says, you're going to see your son after 2 years, just like the story of Yosef and his father. And this father held on to this like this bracha almost for 2 years. Later, when the son came back, he's on the phone with the rabbi, with the Yanuka. So the father says over, the rabbi told me it's going to be like Yosef and his father. And he says, why are you saying that? He says, why? He says you're going to be shocked. The hostage that just came back, he said, because I did not know that story before when I lived in Israel. I only learned that story when I was actually in Gaza, and they actually let me study with them Quran. And when I studied Quran, I studied that story of Yusuf and Yaqub, and the story of Yosef coming back after 2 years. So he says, it's unbelievable. Like, and the father says, are you saying that? Because the rabbi says, no. It's like, no, this is totally 100% legit. It's 100% true. I only learned that story in Gaza from the Quran, from the story of the Quran. Why did I mention that? Because it's so sad. You can't have someone living in Israel and have not the story of Yosef and his father. Yosef and Yaga. It's a Bach and Lira. So how do you view them? Actually, interestingly enough, my Rebbe, Rav Nevenzahl, actually holds that in Eretz Israel, there's no din of Tinech and Ishmael. Because there's no reason. I to say that, when you look at the Gemara and Shabbos, the Gemara is talking about physically, they're gone. Where even we saw Ben Sian, who's maybe like, you know, ideologically disconnected. But you live in Israel. There's a whole world around you. There's religion, there's religiosity, there's the archaeology, there's the Kaisel. Even Bagriot, I think they take, when they take the test to get into college, they have to take some element of Gemara. Am I correct on this? I'm pretty sure that's true. So says Rav Nevenzahl. However, though, that is not the majority opinion. The majority opinion is like the Chazon Ish, which will bring us to the last source. The Chazon Ish tells us, I'm going to run through it. The Chazon Ish tells us that no, Tinech and Ishbul applies even for those who are in the land of Israel. And in essence, he's quoting really in essence built off the Ben Sion. You could have somebody who they're so formed and so shaped by the very conception of what Yiddishkeit is by completely foreign ideas. They think, like I said before, klezmer music and this and that, totally disconnected from what real Judaism is actually about. Nonetheless, they're considered a Jew because they've been so deformed and so taken away from the Ikra source, they didn't make that active decision. I mean, the prior opinions we had by the Ramban, where we talked about where they made an active decision to disconnect. But today we live in a world where you don't have to necessarily make that disconnect. And many of the other rabbis, it's a chiyuv upon us that we have people that we know that are tangentially connected to Yiddishkeit, to the best of our abilities to try to bring them back to Yiddishkeit. Because maybe for them, maybe one could argue, Malia, Zara Malia, maybe we can, the children never lost. And we said, Shkoyach, you're coming out, Shkoyach, and Shkoyach.